G'day Jets fans, it's me David. We are here tonight to review a 3-2 win for the Jets over the Western Sydney Wanderers, their third win over their opponents from round 24 this season. It keeps their slim finals chances alive, and here joining me to review that game from Saturday night is Grant, first of all. Hello, mate.
Hi, how are we going, guys?
I'm good, how are you?
Very good, yes. It's Monday and all's good.
Very good. Well, people will be listening to this on the earliest Tuesday, so that's all good. But the other person we're talking to tonight is Luke. Hello, mate.
Staying alive.
Well, yes, you are coming back from the man flu. You certainly you're not exploring a career in singing, mate.
I used to be a singer when I was a kid, and then puberty happened, and I can't sing anymore.
Right, okay, that's very interesting.
yeah, my voice is too deep.
Apparently so, yeah. well, guys, look, enough stuffing about. Let's get straight into talking about this game. Luke, what did you make of the 3-2 win? It was an interesting performance, I felt.
It really felt like a game of two completely different halves. In the first half, we just seemed to, especially for the first probably 20, 25 minutes, we seemed to be our own worst enemy. We just kept turning the ball over too easily. We let them get through us a bit too quickly. But then after about the 20th, 25th minute, we started to actually get some chances and get some counter-attacks going. We just weren't able to finish them. I thought the second half was, for the most part, a lot better. We seemed to control the play a lot more in the second half. But we still made a few mistakes, which some did cost us, some didn't cost us. But it was definitely a game of two very different halves.
Grant, it was a wonderful evening, I thought, on Saturday night for football. Ideal conditions for both teams. And I don't know, for me personally, I don't think the football quite lived up to it. It had its patches, it had its moments, but patches kind of like the field, but patches of good quality. The Jets, though, I thought to start with, were rather sluggish out of the gates.
Look, the whole night was a big surprise, really. If you were there a half hour before the kickoff and said, what would you call the crowd tonight? I would have said, five or under. Because half an hour to go, there was nobody in the ground. It was I was really surprised, and like the game, as Luke said, the first 15 to 20 minutes we were atrocious. It was laughable at a couple of stages there, and I thought this game is going to define our season, and unfairly, I thought. But as we kicked off in the second half of the first half, we started to show some good counter-attacks. We got a little bit sloppy, and it was Mazzani that scored that goal. He was left totally alone, and I think somebody mentioned the word statues, and they were flat-footed. And Vargas went off at halftime, but then we kicked off into the second half, and it was, again, a real surprise. We really come out with a bit of vengeance. The boys really put on some beautiful counter-attacking football, I thought. And there was stages, even at early stage, I thought, well, I think we're going to get this. I think it's going to be one of those where we're going to come from behind and do it again. And we did. It was a lovely night. All up, it was quite good.
Absolutely. Well, you talk about the crowd, and Luke, there were a lot of people outside. I thought there were the setup that the Greater and all those that participated, but it was Greater sponsored, of course, set up outside ahead of the game. The little kids in particular, it was fantastic. We spent, I took my two kids along with my wife to the game, and we spent a good, I'd say, half an hour out there just the kids on the jumping castles, the free popcorn, the little kicks at goals that they could do. It was a lot of good fun. Did you go around and have a bit of a look, or just did you soak up the atmosphere of all the entertainment that was outside the ground?
I did the complete opposite. I just walked straight to the stadium.
Well, that was a great question. We'll move on.
You know, we're lucky to have a partner in the Greater who is able to put on events and put on, you know, a lot of different things. Another one that they did was, I think it was a collaboration between the club and Brett the Greater, was any under 16 kid that was wearing their club socks got a free ticket into the ground, which,
yep.
You know, it's great to, you know, promote that, the involvement in football for the kids. So I thought that was a really good thing that they did for the game as well.
Cool. Very good. Well, let's look at the lineups. The most notable omissions, I mean, Nick Cowburn was the one player that was left out of the squad that travelled to Wellington. Grant, the most noticeable omission was Jair. Not surprising. I knew that Joey Champness was going to start after all the media that preceded the game, but I didn't think that he'd miss out on the bench altogether. Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, well, it was, the whole early selection was a surprise. You know, there was always talk about bringing on the young guns and, you know, mixing it up, because we've got we're packed it in for the end of the season. We're not going to make the final, so let's bring in some of the younger guys. So in that, I'm thinking, well, let's see what the changes are going to be. And at the end of the day, you know, Jair sat on the bench a couple of times, sat on the bench. Missing out altogether was a bit of a surprise, I suppose. But for the fact that he's, he put Joey Champness on, and that was about it. You know, for a starting squad, I thought it was very little change. Zaire has been scoring. Don't know whether they wanted to see how Roy's in the middle of negotiations. What's Ronnie going to do? He's in negotiations, so I suppose they still wanted to see. And unfortunately for Ronnie, he got injured at half and taken off at half time. But I think that I'd still like to have seen a bit more of a change. I'd want to see maybe Angus Thurgate start, but hopefully we'll see that in the future.
This was the clearest indication yet, Luke, to me, that Jair's not going to be offered another contract next year. It probably doesn't come as a surprise to anyone that would be the case, but, you know, the guy's right on the edge, and I wouldn't be surprised, as Ernie mentioned, or Laurie mentioned, I think it was, that the players that aren't going to be retained will know that they're not going to be retained before the end of the year. Before the end of the season, pardon me, but that Jair's name will be on that list.
I don't think it really comes as much as a surprise to anyone. Jair has shown some glimpses of what he can offer, but for a visa player, you need to be performing consistently, and you need to basically be better than what local players you would have, like what Australian players you'd have in that position. I don't think he's shown enough. You know, he scored 2 goals. He should have had a number of others. It took him a while to get going. And he didn't come in too long before the season started, and he hadn't played a lot before that. But he just hasn't done enough to get that spot. And for me, that was the biggest indication that he won't be back, was that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we may not see him again. I think we should be looking at the players that will be here, the players that are coming out of the youth system, that have been given the chances with the Ollie Roos and stuff. You know, we've got Joey Champness, we've got Thurgate, who's just scored his first goal. These are the guys we should be giving game time to, so, you know, to get some experience for them so they're able to make a bigger impact with the team next year.
Absolutely. Very good points there. I mean, The first half, the Western Sydney Wanderers, Grant, you mentioned before, they were quick out the blocks. Mitch Duke put a goal away, but he was correctly ruled offside. But they were really fast out of the blocks, and we looked, as I mentioned before, really sluggish. And I think that we were lucky, pardon me, not to go behind very early on.
Oh, absolutely. It goes to show you how many good players leave the Mariners. You know, with Duke being a product of them, and I think they're obviously very smart. They see that they're good enough and think, I'm getting the hell out of here. But, we were lucky. It's one of those things, I suppose, that sometimes, you make your own luck, I suppose. Mm. There was, I know we're going to talk about the goals, and their second goal, I thought, was just, it was unbelievable. But anyway, they were off the that Rolly Bonavazio, I think, is fast, and he's quite an attractive player, and I do rate him.
He's
a gorgeous man, and not as gorgeous as Ronnie, as I've always said, but I think they were really gunning for it, and they threw everything on the line because their season's over now. They're finished, so that's, if we've done one thing, we've maintained our
we've locked up seventh.
first of the losers. So, credit to the Wanderers. They threw everything at us, and but again, it's been typical of our season. You know, we threw a game away their last home game, and against a team that we should have smashed severely, and come up against a team that had everything to play for. We were playing extremely. Hemel was on fire, I thought. The other Spaniard, the guy with the ponytail, I thought he was
Lorente.
He had a very good game as well. And we showed what we could do. Thurgate, congratulations to young Angus. You know, brilliant goal. I watched it again this afternoon, and he there was no hesitation. No hesitation. He didn't even bother to try and play with it. He just smashed it. Yeah.
Luke, the difference between the Jets and the Wanderers in that first 20-odd minutes, I thought, was certainly in their transition and their build-up play. The Jets were somewhat lethargic. They were ponderous as well on the ball. Dimmy had, I thought, one of the quieter introductions to a game that I've seen him, whereas Western Sydney Wanderers, as soon as they got the ball, they were in defeat, particularly into Bam Johan, and he was able to play quite easily without much pressure, through balls, in behind the defence, when utilising the pace of Duke, the pace of Yeboah, and also the width offered by Kamau and Lorente, and give the Wanderers some time. I mean, Bam Johan, he's a player that's been widely praised by in media, particularly other podcasts in recent times, such as Fox Sports. I thought this is the best game that I've seen him play against the Jets. And he's only had a couple, granted, but I thought he was by far and away their best player.
Yeah, he got the assist for their first goal, for mm-hmm. Mahali. He's just someone who oozes quality. You know, he's had a lot of injury problems this year. So Wanderers probably say they haven't been able to get the best out of him because he's been so stop-start throughout the season. But that first half in particular, we just couldn't deal with their pace going forward. As you said, getting the ball out wide, moving around with Yeboah and Duke's pace. It was just a recipe for disaster. It was a wonder we didn't concede. You said that there was the goal that was scored that was ruled out for offside. But aside from that, it's a wonder we didn't concede, especially with the chance I think Duke or Riera had in the first 42 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the tide started to swing midway through that first half, and the Jets' best and, well, really only opportunity during that first half was an O'Donovan miss after Champness, one of the only times he was in a bit of space behind the Wanderers' defence, Grant, and he managed to Chambliss was checking back in on his right a lot, but this time he actually went to his left, and he put the ball across for O'Donovan. And I thought it was a wonderful opportunity that he missed. Others haven't agreed with me. They thought that I was being quite harsh. Where do you sit on that miss from Roy?
If he hit the side of his foot, it would have gone in, I reckon. You know, he stuck his foot up, but I think it's just clipped his toe or something and just kept on going. But if he could have got that, all he had to do is get his foot behind it, and it would have deflected into the goal. So, yeah, it was one of those things. You know, I know Roy's come under a lot of caning from the supporters, but, you know, look, and it should have been a goal. You know, he missed the penalty, and that one should have been a goal. He should have got his foot behind it. But my God, he was trying hard. You've got to give that bloke 100%. He gives 100%, so you've got to give him credit for that. And he made up with a very nice goal in the second half. So I'm not too hard on him for missing it, but because he was always there. Yeah, he's offside. A lot of people bag him for being offside, but, it's like they say, it's, you know, what was your name? Another bloke we love to hate.
Matt Simon.
Matt Simon, and Berisha, he was another one that's offside so many times, but he scores. Everybody hates him for being offside, and then all of a sudden he sneaks one through and he gets it. So, you know, Roy's in the same boat. So, yeah, but you're right. If he got his foot squarely behind, that would have been a goal.
I mean, it would have been an undeserved lead almost, I'd say, at that stage. Luke, how did you see that miss from Roy?
I think, you know, you've got, as you and Grant said, you've got the two sides of it. You've got the people that will say, you know, that's just another easy chance that he's missed. You've got ones that say, oh, you know, personally, I thought it came a bit fast. You know, he was sort of blinded by it. He had the Wanderers defender right in front of him that would have probably blocked a lot of the view until it was basically at his foot. Yeah, it was a good chance. He's missed easier ones. There was definitely better chances that we could have and should have scored from than that one, I thought.
Fair enough. I mean, it was late in the half as well that the Jets conceded a goal. It was an uncontested header, Luke, at the near post. Roy O'Donovan was beaten by the flight of the ball. Daniel Georgevski wasn't tight on Mahazi, and he managed to get away a free header that beat Glenn Moss. And the Wanderers went in 1-0 at half-time.
It was one of those times where you just thought, this is what we've become now. We've become the laughing stock again, where we're letting players like Mahazi score. I think I tweeted something about that. You know, within 3 weeks, we went from potentially making fourth spot to losing to the Mariners and letting Mahazi score. It was just, the defending on it was bad. You know, there were two players. It was bad.
The defending was bad. The end.
The end. Yeah, I mean, it definitely was not one of our better moments that night. It was just a brain explosion, a switch off for a second. And
It was Topper as well. If you have a look, you can see Topper's basically standing there watching him. Yeah.
Well, it was the one I sort of looked at as they should have been on him was Georgevski, because Georgevski was just standing there. He was the closest one to him and put no pressure on him.
Yeah, well, I thought it's between O'Donovan and Georgevski to get to that ball first. But anyway, we went in 1-0 down, and I summarised that half, Grant, and look, we've spoken on it. Add some more if you want to add some more to it, but I summarised our performance in the first half that we looked like a side that were told during the week that they weren't going to make finals. So what's the point in playing? Do you think that that's fair?
I think for the first half I think it was very fair. Our passing was terrible. You know, we gave the ball up so many times. It's not funny. You know, there was nothing. There wasn't. These weren't even Hail Mary passes we were giving up. These weren't even, you know, we're trying to split the eye of the needle. This was just not getting to the ball quick enough, and some of it was very lethargic. And then we had a couple of opportunities, and there was a bit of a spark there from Joey coming down the left-hand side, who I thought was well and truly handled by, was being looked after quite well by...
Kamau,
that's it, thank you. So he was, but Joey was still able to get away, put some good crosses in. And then there was a couple of times, you know, we talk about the O'Donovan miss as one where he couldn't quite get up for the header and that. So there was a few good, you know, we get him on the counter, and I think as we we went further into that half, there was a little bit of belief that, look, you know, we can get these guys on the counter here. And then a couple of minutes before halftime, that we scored, they scored an easy goal, uncontested, and you would have thought, well, they're going to come out. And, you know, I don't know what Buddy Ernie tells them in the dressing sheds, but obviously what they did is they turned around, they come out, they held off, put some good runs, and then in the latter part of that, was in the 70th minute or whatever it is, we scored our goal and then kept going from there. And as I say, it should have really been 3-1, but... I'm sure we'll talk about that shortly.
The halftime sub of Ronnie Vargas, it's been reported by James Gardner in the Herald, Luke, that Vargas was suffering an ankle complaint. He's now in doubt for this weekend's clash with Perth. Very similar to what you said about Jair, I think that we could have actually seen the last of Ronnie Vargas. And sad is the tale of Ronnie Vargas, how he's tailed out this year. And for personally, he's... The last couple of weeks, he's just not really been at the races. I think that there's almost an air of inevitability that he won't be re-signing with the Jets.
I think it's been pretty, pretty obvious since probably the turn of the year that his performances have just dropped off. And I think that's when the contract talks were probably starting. So, it's, as you said, I think it's similar to Jair. You know, he's obviously got a lot of quality. I think he's probably still not 100% from that ankle break last year. We saw what he was like in the first 2.5 games. He just hasn't shown that since, and I think he's probably still got that at the back of his mind that he's not going in for tackles. He seems to lose possession very easily now. He's probably just, you know, lost that confidence that he had prior to it, which is unfortunate. But, you know, again, he's our marquee player.
You expect better.
You'd expect better. He has got 6 goals this season. Again, he probably should have more than 6 goals this season. But I think probably the area where we're probably... haven't seen enough from him is the chances created part. I'll probably count on, you know, maybe 2 fingers how many assists he's got this year. And from your number 10, you'd be needing more.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and quiet night for Ronnie. He had 25 touches in the 45 minutes he was on. Interesting, actually, for comparison, Roy, who was playing ahead of him, had 20 touches in the 90 minutes that he was playing. So... 35 for Joey in the 67 he played, and 52 for Dimmy in the 90 that he played. So, really slim pickings for those forward players. We were very, very conservative, I think, in our possession and where we were looking to go. But I mean, I'll break forward now through to Roy's goal. You touched on it earlier, Grant. It was a Georgievski cross from the left-hand goal, from the left-hand side of the box. It was quite a deep cross that went across the edge of the 18-yard area. Dimmy tried to get a touch on it, but it was behind him. And it fell to Roy. And with a lot of space and time that you don't normally associate with, well, high-level football, he managed to stop, control, turn, place his shot with a fair amount of power and put it away as you expect a striker to. It was a good finish.
Well, look at what surprised me. If you look at it, he's pulled it down with his left and pulled it and shot with his right, and he's had to turn his body to get his foot around to be able to hit it. He's hit it with the inside and put it towards the left post around the keeper. But it looked like he had all the time in the world, and nobody challenged him as he was doing it. And as I say, he's come in, he's pulled it down, and it was a shot where you would normally think that he's going to take with his left foot. But obviously he's recognised he had enough time, and it was all like it was in slow motion. He's pulled it down, hit it with his right foot. So that was a lovely goal.
It reminded me, Luke, of I was up earlier in the morning watching Liverpool versus Southampton. The goal that Shane Long scored, I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't. Sorry.
No, you haven't. Well, very similar to that goal. I mean, that's the second question now you've shot down on me, so I'll move on, mate.
I'd have said yes.
Just talk around it, Luke, for crying out loud. No. Look, Roy's come under...
The problem is, if I did start going on about it, you'd be like, it wasn't Shane Long, it was actually Bednarak or someone like that scored the goal for Southampton, so catch me out.
I wouldn't do that to you, my friend. I mean, look, we spoke heavily about Roy and the criticism that he's been getting... mostly from social media, and how he indicated that he and the Jets are still some way apart, but he's confident of a resolution, which is wonderful agent talk for they're going to come to the party and we might come to the party as well. But, I mean, he scored that goal, he ran away waving to people, etc. I expected that when he was running to the stand, he'd actually be running there rubbing his fingers together as in, show me more moolah.
But I don't think Roy's that type of person that would make a big deal about that sort of thing publicly. From my dealings with him, he's very I want to say professional. It probably doesn't seem like that. The sort of mischief he gets up to on the field, but he's a completely different person off the field. That old chestnut. But he doesn't come to me as the type of person that would do that publicly. Although, in saying that, I'm now thinking of when he did come out publicly about the Mariners after he left them. But I think he'd probably wait for it to get done and then go public with it.
Cool. 7 minutes later, Grant, I don't know whether to... Well, it's been attributed. It's our 400th goal, 450th goal in the A-League. Is quite fittingly a Vedran Janjetovic own goal. But, look, it was going in. It was definitely curling in from Dimi. It's an own goal from Vedran. I guess that's how they class these things. But, I don't know. The Jets were 2-1 up, and I'll say classic Vedran.
Look, it was... We were sitting there with us, the usual crew in our bay, and we're looking at it and thinking, what was that? You know, everybody's going up for the goal, you know, and everybody's cheering, and we've just gone up because everybody else is. And I must have been there and said, nobody touched it. What happened there? And then we looked at the big screen, and you can see that it's just snuck in. He's got two fists to it and punched it just on the inside of that crossbar, right in the corner there, and it was driven it into the back of the net. So, well done. But you've got to put the balls in those positions to get them to do it, don't you? So good on you, Dimi. That was a brilliant kick. It forced him to make... It was too hard for him to catch it, I suppose. He's realised he's got to try and punch it. It's deep inside that... when I say deep, it's just inside that crossbar area. And when he's hit it, it's hit it on the curve and it's bounced in. So brilliant goal. Good on you, Dimi.
I mean, he's been somewhat consistent over the last few weeks, Vedran Janjetovic. I mean... Luke, this must have just been killing him. It must have been this want, this desire to do some, have some brain snap must have been bubbling away under the surface, and it came out in all its glory in that attempted save and a punch into his own net.
We talk about us playing teams into form. Well, finally something's gone our way. Finally someone has had a brain snap against us.
It's Vedran, mate. I mean, come on.
It's Vedran, yeah. It's, you know, I think, you know, you talk about players being out of form and stuff. I think he was just out of form in making a mistake. It was really, you know, you say own goal and everything. Are we really surprised that there was a veteran own goal? I mean, short of him actually playing for the Jets and it being now like 500 conceded or something. No, it's perfect that a veteran Janjetovic goal was a milestone goal for us. For me personally, I was up in the northwest corner, so the opposite end of the field to where that goal was scored. Everyone around me just had no reaction to it. No one knew what happened. We were too far away from it. So it wasn't until, you know, we see everyone else up on the field that everyone's like, oh, we scored? that was a bit... As I said to some of my mates, I think that was the second... It's up there in my top two least celebrated goals, or Jets goals of all time, the other one being at Windlass Stadium. We got a late equaliser with an unnamed former player, and we were just that far away that we had no idea the ball had gone in until the coaching staff were on the field jumping around like lunatics. just on that own goal, I was watching replays before we did the podcast, and from the replay, it looks like Jimmy's has just completely caught Janjetovic off guard with the corner. You know, you sort of watch him, and Janjetovic is
I was just going to say, by what beating the first man. No,
you know, Janjetovic is there sorting his defence out, and then he sort of looks up and is trying to rally back almost straight away for the kick coming in. So I think Jimmy's sort of gone a bit quick that Janjetovic wasn't expecting the ball to come in that early. So, you know, it's just something I picked up watching the replay just before.
Yeah. Oh, well, good on you, veteran. We'll thanks very it. Much. We needed the yeah, lols.
We'll take it.
Yep. But the lead didn't last very long, Grant. Keanu Backus with a long-range strike that the pinged in off the crossbar and in and drew the Wanderers level.
It was an own goal. Absolutely.
Hey!
Moth let it go.
Oh,
have
right.
a look. Have a look. He's thinking that's going over the top. I guarantee. I watched it again, and you have a look at it, and he pulled his hands down. I'm not joking. Go back. Have a look.
He did.
He's thinking it's going over the top. He's pulled his hands down and it's bounced in under the post.
He was well off his line as well. He was well off his line.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He got caught.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, you check it out. He, as that ball's heading towards him, he pulls his hands down at the last minute and then he turns around to the back of the net.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And he doesn't make... And look at the... the guys around us, absolutely, you know, howls of anguish. And then, you know, because he's had, look, you know, again, there's these detractors out there, but he's had a good season. He's done all right by us, but my God, that was a cock up.
See, for me, I think, you know, yes, he probably should have saved that, but it looked like it dipped. It had mad dip on it towards the end of that. But for me personally, I think if you're putting the blame on anyone for that, it's got to be on Boogs. He gave away possession way too cheaply, under no pressure at all, and three passes later they've got the ball in the net. There was absolutely no need for that, trying to make an audacious 50-metre pass.
I hear what you're saying, but Moss pulled his hands down.
Why can't we blame both?
Yes.
I had tacos tonight for tea.
it was a defensive error. Yes, why can't we have both?
Sorry. Well, look, our blushes were spared in the 82nd minute when
it was.
It went with a wonderful finish, Luke, by the Port Macquarie Pele, Angus Thurgate, the 85th player for the Jets to score in the A-League. A lovely curling right-footed finish. I was saying to the people around me during the match that last year, all these challenges between two players, the ball is bouncing away from the Jets this year. Last season, it was bouncing for them. And I think that this goal was very similar to a goal that we would have seen last year, where Wanderers players come together, the ball pings around between them, and instead of ending up at their own feet or at one of their teammates, it's ended up, at the Jets' feet. This time Angus Thurgate, and he curled it away. Vedran couldn't stop it. 3-2 the Jets.
It was a wonderful finish. It was a great assist from Tarek Elrich as well. just sliding in and just making sure the ball went straight to the Jets player. I think you're right. It definitely, you talk about last year and everything just seemed to go perfectly last year. You know, everything went our way.
This year's
been the complete opposite. It was the unicorn year. This year it's been the complete opposite. And as you said, it probably was. I did watch a replay of the Jets Wanderers game from last season where there was the 4-0 win at home just before Christmas. And there was, may have been, just trying to think who scored, maybe Ugarkovic. Either Ugarkovic or Hoffman, I think it was. That,
yeah, it was Katrumba scored.
Katrumba scored, yeah. He's got the first one. Yeah. It did sort of have that feeling of, this is what we would have done last year. We would have kept pushing and got the win all last year. We haven't really had too many matches like that this year. But I think Kane Shepherd, it was really his pass. He was looking for the ball to Roy that was intercepted. So once again, we've got a player who's come from the NPL, who is a bit older. He's 25, but he's been a great servant for us this year. He scored goals. He's made plenty of assists. Hopefully, with a whole year under his, a whole preseason under his belt next season, we're able to see Shepherd really step up and, add some more goals and assists to his tally.
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason why we can't get a few years out of him as well. Grant, there's an article on the A-League.com website where they talk about what Angus refers to, or he's been asked about, the Port Macquarie Pele tag. And I think that was something that was started by, Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, you or Anthony? I think it was Anthony.
Yeah, it was Anthony that did it.
Certainly through the jet stream, the Port Macquarie Pele tag, and through his social media as well. He doesn't know, Angus couldn't recount where it started, but I think we need to clarify that here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it did come through the jet stream and the people associated with it.
Yeah, it was definitely Anthony that started it off. I think I was probably one of the first ones to pick up on it. After Anthony had started it, but yeah, no, it's good that it's got the traction that it has.
Excellent. Well, very good, Grant. So the Jets came away with 3-2 win. Finals chances are still alive.
No.
They kept Jimmy in a job.
Yeah, they did, and we've got to keep doing that. He's a good bloke. But look, I think we're with Adelaide beating Phoenix and making the run for the finals of the Jet Stream's tipping competition extremely close.
Oh, we're still doing that, are we?
I know myself and Carney's ball spot is still doing it, because I know there's only 2 points between us, because I picked Sydney to beat Victory, whereas everybody else had picked Victory, and everybody picked Phoenix, whereas Joel's picked Adelaide, and so we counted there, so I'm still 2 points in front. So I think Adelaide will keep going. We have a very tough run home.
Absolutely.
We've got Perth next week. They're running hot. They've had a good trial run against, a good training run, I should say, against Mariners, and that's just keeping them warm. We'll go over there, and we will give them a good show. There's no doubt about that, but we haven't had much success over on the West Coast, so it'll be a tough gig. And we have Sydney after that, don't we? I don't know. Sydney's the last home game, I think, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, we've got a tough gig going on, so I've resigned to the fact that we're not going to make the finals, and therefore I'd like to see some of our younger players get much, much more game time.
Absolutely.
And start the sort next season out nice and early for us.
Speaking of A-League.com.au, Luke, I took exception to an article that they posted today talking about a three-way battle for fourth. Technically, we are still a mathematical chance that we are going to win, seriously. If Wellington draw their game against, I think it's...
City?
Against City, yep. And City draw their other game against Adelaide and yada, yada, yada. We are still, and we score a lot of goals, we are still a technical chance of fourth. Do you think we can do it, Luke?
Oh, you know, where's Sportsbet?
Yeah, what are the odds?
But realistically, Melbourne City are just 3 points from guaranteeing their spot. Adelaide are 2 points, so are the Phoenix. It's a long shot for us to reach that finals now.
Forget it. If we can't beat the Mariners at home, we don't deserve to be in there. No, the Mariners have won two games all season. So, yeah, I think after that game...
I think their DVD highlights are out probably about now as well. VHS.
Cassette tape. Yeah, no, it's gone. As Grant said, we've got nothing to play for. Let's just play the youth players. Let's play the guys that'll be here next year. Let's give some players a chance. You know, Ernie said during the week last week that you know, he's going to look to youth. Why not get Jack Simmons out there for a game? Get him in the match day squad. He's been highly praised, and. You know, he's been getting assists in the NPL in Newcastle, so I think he deserves to have a chance at first grade. And while we're at it, throw Mackie Petrados in there as well. Get him to go.
And I think the only people who'll be complaining will be Labby.
Fair enough. Very good. Yep. We'll see. I think that I reckon that we will see him feature at some point before the end of this season. Well, guys, that for me wraps up the game. Who was your player of the match, Grant?
A little bit of left field, but I have been watching him, and I think he gets the praises when he does what he does so well. But Kane Sheppard, you know, he's only on for half a game. He came on at half time, but everything that seems to be happening up front, he seems to be behind. He's the one that's making those passes. He's the one that's putting the ball through. He just seems to be able to get himself into that position with the ball to be able to unload it, to get it in. And I don't know what his assist is. His assist rate is, you know, per game. He only plays half games, so, you know, maybe they ought to do it on minutes on the field. But, just for something that says I've a lot of respect for that player, and I think he's going to do well by us for the next few seasons. So, yeah, Kane Sheppard was my man.
Luke?
I went more defensive, which is strange given that we conceded two goals, but I thought Topper Stanley. There was a couple of mistakes he made, but he was, unlike other players in the team, he was back there fixing up his mistakes straight away rather than dropping his head and leaving it to someone else. Just the amount of aerial headers he won. He didn't seem to lose anything. He was always in there, clearing the ball out, getting first to it, so I went with Topper.
Me, I'm almost at the point of abstaining. I don't know. But, look, I think for the way that he took his goal, I'm going to say Angus Thurgate. No, actually, cool. No. No, I'm going to say Roy O'Donovan.
What did you say, Dimmy? Go on, say Dimmy.
Yeah, no.
Say Dimmy. Then you've got them all. Then you've got them all, then.
Vedran for that one. No, I will say Roy O'Donovan. Missed a chance, and I was critical of him, but the chance that he did take, it was clinical, and it brought us back level in the match, and it was a telling contribution. So,
I hope we see him again.
I felt like I was scratching.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, well, hopefully that was enough to sort of convince all the powers to be that, everybody can work together and get the numbers right for everybody, that we do see him again next year. Because remember, he's still got a very good bloody strike rate, and he missed the first 8 rounds of the bloody season, so, you know.
Yeah, we talk about the one thing that we've missed in all our seasons in the abyss of the table is that we didn't have a proper out-and-out striker. You know, for all the criticism he gets, he is up to 18 goals in less than 2 seasons. You know, he hasn't played a full season with this
streak. Exactly.
Yet he's one goal away from being, you know, equal second outright, or, you know, equal second goal scorer in Jets history in 2 seasons.
Yep. Yeah, so all your whingers, shut the hell up.
You know, if he was here from the start of the season, you know, he'd probably be up there with the Golden Boot this year. He'd probably be up around 15 goals.
Yep.
So
yep.
if he hadn't missed 2 penalties against Central Coast, you know, he'd be on 10 by now. So, you know, he's definitely had the chances, and, you know, maybe another year he would be in double figures already. He would be pushing nearly 20 goals. But, you know, I think that's something we can't forget is that, you know, he is on 18 goals. He is... pains me to say it, he is almost our second all-time leading goal scorer in 15 years of the competition.
In 32 appearances, yeah. he scored the same amount of goals as Andrew Naboot, and the same amount of goals as Adam Taggart as well. Taggart was 44 games, Roy's at 32 games so far. So he's certainly a very prolific scorer for the club. Okay,
absolutely.
Guys. That wraps it up for me, unless there's anything else that you guys want to talk about. Nope. Excellent.
No.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to this review. If you enjoyed us, please jump onto iTunes and leave a rating. If you don't already subscribe, jump on to your podcast apps and subscribe to them to the podcast as well. That way it downloads automatically into your podcast app and it's right there ready and waiting for you. Luke, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Grant.
Always a pleasure.
Until then, everyone, thank you again. Talk to you during the week as we preview the trip to Perth on Sunday afternoon. Go the Jets.
Go
the Jets. Well, I'm down, Benjamin!